Is there anyone here this morning that has never had a need in your life for forgiveness? No one? I was thinking about this, and I had to think. The Apostle Paul, in referring to himself, said, "I am the chiefest of sinners." You remember what else he said about himself? He said, "I've lived in all good conscience until this day." In other words, I have always tried to do what is right. So how do you reconcile those two? I've always tried to do what is right, but I'm the chiefest of sinners. I don't know how you feel this morning in relation to others, in relation to Jesus and Almighty God. Dana talked about this. Our realization of who we are and what He's done for us and so on. But I think that one of the keys to being in love with Jesus is understanding how sinful we are. No matter how well we've lived, understanding how sinful we are. And then the second part of being in love with Jesus is being willing to extend forgiveness. And so I've entitled this message this morning, Forgiven, Forgiving. I thought about saying forgiven equals forgiving, but I thought about that some more and I decided that wasn't quite what I wanted to say. So I'm simply saying the whole fact that we have been forgiven, our need of forgiveness, our experience of forgiveness becomes a motivation, becomes something in our own hearts, in our own lives, in need of forgiveness. Now let me ask you a second question. You've all, by your silence, expressed that you have a need of forgiveness, or have had. How many of you have a need of forgiveness by God today? Maybe I should have asked how many do not have a need of forgiveness today. How many of you get into difficulties with people? Anybody that doesn't. Maybe I should ask it that way again. No. Life is life. And people are people. We're all imperfect. We all just expressed that we have need of forgiveness today. So if I have need of forgiveness today, and Danny has need of forgiveness today, then it would seem logical that Danny and I might have a little thing between us somewhere that needed some forgiveness, right? So I want us to think about this morning, because as I was thinking it, this has been on my mind for some time now. It's a wonderful thing to stand up here and say, "I am in love with Jesus Christ." But what does that look like? What goes on in my life because of being in love with Jesus Christ? And I think you'll see in this message this morning that this is huge. This is really huge. This whole thing of forgiveness is not something that we can shove off to the side somewhere and deal with later. It's something that affects our lives on a daily basis. So let's just ask ourselves some questions, if this thing will cooperate. Go ahead and take it to the next slide, James. What does it mean to forgive one another? What does that look like? If you and I, there we go. What does it mean to forgive one another? Thank you. What's that all look like? What does that mean? We want to look at that this morning. We probably have some ideas. Maybe they're not good ideas. Our society doesn't offer us the best ideas in this regard. How important is forgiveness? Is forgiveness something that, it needs to be done, but, it's not, if it doesn't get done, so what? How important is it? What's the basis? What is the basis on which we forgive? Is the basis that we've been forgiven because we're good? Because we really deserve forgiveness? Is that why we've been forgiven by God? So, is the basis for us to forgive someone else because they're so good? They really deserve it? Something to think about. Who should we forgive? Is there a limitation on who comes under this area of forgiveness in our lives? Why should we forgive? These are all questions relating to this thing of forgiveness. Why should I forgive anyone? I think it's an important question. I think it's one that we'll answer, that God will answer for us. And I think it's important for us to think about. What are the consequences of forgiveness? Now think about this. Usually we talk about the consequences of unforgiveness, and we may talk about that a little bit. But what are the consequences of forgiveness? Just stop and think a little bit. What was the consequence of God offering forgiveness to us? Pretty huge consequences for God, wasn't it? Think there might be some consequences for us? Some costs associated with forgiveness? What about consequences or cost of unforgiveness? Are there some things there that maybe we ought to think about? What might be those consequences of not forgiving? I would guess that probably most of us here have heard someone say, or maybe have said, "I will never forgive that. There's no way I can forgive that." That's a pretty strong statement. It has consequences. And we want to look at that this morning. Ephesians chapter 4. This is where I was thinking for a while already as I thought about this message. And I wanted us to think about this. Ephesians 4, 31 and 32. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Now, what are these words describing? Unforgiveness? Okay, excellent. They're describing difficulties in relationships, right? We get angry because we've been wronged. We get bitter because someone does not make that wrong right. We develop malice because wrongs keep building up. So there's a lot of things that he's talking about here that are all about things that happen in our lives. Now, did Peter understand those? Did Paul understand those? The writers of the Gospels and the Scriptures, did they understand those difficulties? Absolutely they did. They knew all about them. And so they're not writing to us out of head knowledge, they're writing to us out of experience. And they're sharing something with us. Look what he says. Let all, A-L-L. That's a pretty big word, isn't it? So he's saying, you know, you can't keep some of that back here in some place and drag it out every now and then. He says, get it all put away. But he does say, and be ye kind one to another. Tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. I don't know how that strikes you, but that's pretty huge. I learn best hands-on. If somebody can show me how to do something, I can go from there real well. Here's a hands-on. Even as. Interesting, you might want to do a study on that. There's a number of things in the Scripture that talk about even as Christ. That's another sermon in itself. Let's just look at these verses just a little bit here. If you look at how this wording is constructed in the Greek, he's not just saying let this happen. Actually, the phrase let be put away is all one phrase. It's all the same. So he's saying, let be put away from you all these things. And so it's not something that's casual, it's something imperative. It's something that has to be done. It's not something that we just, maybe we ought to, maybe we don't. It's not a big deal. That's not the mode that he's talking in here. He's talking in something that we do with continuing action. We are sincere about it. We're working at it. It's happening in our lives. So he says, let it all be put away. And be. What is it when we talked about this some time ago, this whole thing of being rather than doing? He's talking about some action, but he's talking about more than just action. He's talking about something that happens within us. Something is changed. Things are not the same. There's something going on in our lives. And so he says, let all this be put away and be ye kind. It's something that has to happen within us. Now, do you think God shows His kindness toward us as an action or as an expression of His character? What is it? Well, it is an action, but it's on the basis of His character, right? I mean, evil men can do kind things, can't they? But they cannot be kind. They can do kindness, but they cannot be kind. So there's something that has to change within us. Then he gives us the example, even as. And he uses the example of the Father, even as God for Christ's sake. So he's saying, look, this thing has to come from God to you, through you, to others. You see what he's saying? And then he says, it's for Christ's sake. Here's why we forgive. Why did God forgive us? For Christ's sake. Because of what Christ did for us, God forgave us, right? That's the basis that God forgives our sins. Because it's not some whimsical thing where God just says, all right, I'll forgive you. No, it's on the basis of what Christ has done. And that's the same basis that we forgive others. Be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. So we forgive others on the basis of what Christ has done for us. Now let's just look at this some more. Our forgiveness of others is directly related to what we have been forgiven. Here over in Luke chapter 7, verses 41 to 43, Jesus is telling a story. It's there at Simon's house. And he said, a certain creditor had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence and the other 50. What's the difference? 10 times, right? One owed 50 and one owed 500. 10 times more. And when they had nothing to pay, they both had nothing, the one owed 50, the one owed 500. When they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Now, which one's going to love him the most? And Simon said, well, I suppose he to whom he forgave most. Now, does that make sense to you why the Apostle Paul loved the Lord so much? I am the chiefest of sinners. I was forgiven the most. And he just buried his life in service and response to the love of Jesus Christ and the forgiveness that happened with him. So, the more that I've been forgiven, the more I'm going to love. That's what Jesus is saying, right? The more that I see that God has forgiven me, the more I am going to love God. And then, the more that I have been forgiven, the easier it's going to be for me to forgive, right? You know why we have difficulty with forgiving others? Because I'm not so bad. That's our problem, isn't it? That's our problem. Now, this was interesting. That word forgive here, there's actually two words in the New Testament for forgive. The first one I'm looking at here, and it's translated here in Acts chapter 3, verse 14, as granted unto you. And look what happened. When Jesus was on trial, the chief priests, the rulers of Israel, wanted a murderer to be forgiven, and they wanted the forgiver to be condemned. I don't know if you ever noticed that before. It just kind of hit me in a new way. They wanted to forgive the murderer and murder the forgiver. And this is what Stephen says, you denied the Holy One and the just and desired a murderer to be granted unto you, to be forgiven. That word forgiven is kind of a broad word that we're looking at right now. Now, forgiveness is expensive. I mean, really expensive. The cost goes on the forgiver, and the forgiven one goes free. The guy that the two servants, the one that owed 50 and one that owed 500, what did it say he did? He frankly forgave them both. What did that mean for him? How much? 550, right? Gone. Out the door. Never to be seen again. He bore the cost, and these guys get to walk. Sounds good if you're owing. We love it when God's ready to forgive us, but what about if I'm owed? And Jesus told that story in Matthew 18, how the guy owed so much, and then he went out and found his fellow servant that owed him very little, and he was ready to choke him and kill him because he wouldn't pay right now. Look what Romans 8:32 says. This is talking about how expensive forgiveness is. He that spared not his own son. Whoa. You talk about expensive. You talk about the cost of forgiveness. He delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him freely give us all things? Now, where's the cost stop? Would have been a lot cheaper, a lot easier for God to have just wiped us out, right? First, he gives his son, and then he gives us all things with him. Forgiveness costs God, and it keeps costing God a lot. Really a lot. Now, there's a lesson here for us. If forgiveness doesn't cost us anything, it's probably not forgiveness. And one of the things we have to be ready to do when we forgive is bear the cost. You see, when there's a debt, when there's an obligation, there's three things that can happen, right? It can either be paid, it can be forfeited and dealt with, or it can be forgiven, right? If it's paid, then it's settled. If it's forfeited, then it has to be dealt with by someone else. If it's forgiven, the forgiver bears the cost. Okay? And you see, that's why we have so much difficulty with forgiveness, because it's going to cost me. And you deserve to pay. Right? We'll look at that some more later too. Now, forgiving is a key to good relationships. One of the things that we have got to come face to face with as human beings and as the church is that there is no other answer, there is no other solution to good human relationships. You're never going to be a good enough husband and wife to not need forgiveness. You're never going to be a good enough church member to not need forgiveness. You're never going to be a good enough preacher to not need forgiveness. Right? We all need forgiveness. And the only way to deal with each other properly as humans is to forgive. Have you ever thought about how difficult we make life for ourselves by not forgiving? How much do you think you're dragging along behind you? We talk about baggage, people's baggage, and how it messes up their lives. Do you know what most of that baggage is? Lack of forgiveness. That's what most of it is. There's other stuff, but that's what a lot of it is. Look what Colossians 3:13 says. Forbearing one another. You know what that means? That means putting up with each other. That's what it means. Just putting up with each other. And forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel or a blame against any. See what he's saying? He's saying this is everywhere. You know what? There is not a person here in this congregation that could not find something to pick a quarrel with me that I've done or not done over the years. Same thing for you, too. If any man have a quarrel against any. Now look what he says. Even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Now, just look back. Let's just take this past week and let's just think about it a little bit. I love Jesus. I'm in love with Jesus. And He, you know, He's my Savior. He's my friend. You suppose there was anything you did this last week that Jesus might not have been impressed with too well? What do you want Him to do with it? Make you pay? What do you want Him to do with it? Come on. Hello? Hello? We want to be forgiven. It doesn't matter how big or how small it was, we want Him to forgive us, and we expect that, don't we? Because that's His nature. And we love it. Until it comes back on us and it starts costing us something. Now, who has to pay the price for those things where we messed up this week and we made Jesus look bad? We made God's name small instead of great? Who pays the price for that? He does, doesn't He? Our Lord, our God, pays the price for that. Now, whoops, what did I do? Blank that out? Oh, you lost it. Something happened back there, James. There we go. So he says, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Even as Christ forgave you. There is only one way that we can be in good relationship with God and with our Lord Jesus Christ. Forgiveness. His forgiveness for us. That's the only way. And you know what? There's only one way that we can be in good relationship with each other. Whether it's husband or wife, whether it's family, whether it's church, whether it's people. The only way is forgiveness. That's the only way it's going to happen. I say things that hurt sometimes. You hear me say things that I didn't intend to hurt that hurt. You see me do things that hurt. What are you going to do with them? Are you going to make me pay? Or are you going to forgive and carry the weight, the cost of that forgiveness yourself? Our forgiveness by God is not automatic. This is something I think we need to stop and look at a little bit. This is, again, that story there. And this, by the way, this is where we start going to the other word that's forgive. It's not quite the same, but it has a lot of the same meanings. Jesus said to the one, or the ruler was saying to his servant, and Jesus was relating the story. He said the ruler forgave this one servant a huge debt. What happened to the cost? What happened to that money that he had loaned him and he couldn't pay back? He ate it, didn't he? That's what we'd say. We'd call it today. He ate it. He forgave it. Now, this guy, he'd just been forgiven possibly millions of dollars. And he goes out and finds a guy that owes him a couple pennies. And he starts choking him because he can't pay him right now. And the guy says, if you just wait, I'll pay you. And he says, no, if you don't pay me now, you're going to jail. And they came and hauled him off to jail because he couldn't pay it right now. He couldn't cough it up right that minute. What is the picture that Jesus is giving us in that story? What's the picture? Okay. Of us not forgiving others. Exactly. God has forgiven us this huge, enormous debt of sin through Jesus Christ. And we come and accept that wonderful gift from God of forgiveness, and then we go around to others and we're going to make them pay. Now. Not later. Now. Now look what Jesus says. If in the story, the ruler found out about it and he said, wait a minute. Just like you're treating this man, happening to you. And he got thrown in jail. Now look what Jesus said. Now this, what are the consequences of unforgiveness? Just look at this. Matthew 18:35. So likewise. That means same, right? Just the same. Likewise. Shall my heavenly Father do also unto you. Now look what he said. If ye from your hearts, not just with your mouth, not just with your lips, not just with your mind, from your heart, forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. That's pretty big. That's pretty big. So we live in a world where we look at God's forgiveness as being automatic. Well, Christ died for us. We come to God, we ask him to forgive us, and he forgives us. But Jesus says, wait a minute. Yeah, that happens. But if you choose not to forgive your brother, then your heavenly Father is going to do like this to you. Wait a minute. That's pretty big. That's pretty big. It's not something that you can just... These are the words of Jesus. These are not my words. These are not some theologian's words. These are the words directly from Jesus. So will my heavenly Father do to you if you don't from your heart forgive. Our forgiveness is dependent upon our forgiveness. That's what Jesus was saying. In Matthew 6, verse 12, we pray this in the Lord's Prayer. How many of you have never prayed the Lord's Prayer? Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Did you know you asked God that? Did you know that you told him that? God, you forgive me the way I forgive everybody else. Every time we pray the Lord's Prayer, we pray that. That's pretty big too, isn't it? We're agreeing to it. Jesus said, if you don't forgive from your hearts, this is what's going to happen to you. And we go to God and we pray and we say, God, I want you to forgive me just like I forgive others. So forgiveness is a big deal, isn't it? It's a big deal. In Matthew chapter 6, he goes on to say this. He says, if or if not. It's our choice. Both choices have consequences. Matthew 6, 14 and 15. If ye forgive men their trespasses. If you forgive others for whatever they've done against you, your Heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you forgive not, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. We love to be forgiven. Why do we struggle so hard with forgiveness, with extending forgiveness? Well, they said, nah, 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 nah. Well, they did that to me 25 years ago. On and on and on and on. And we feel justified in it. We pat ourselves on the back because we're giving them what they deserve. Nobody should talk to them. They're scum. Nobody should do anything with them. They don't deserve it. Really? Really? I'm in love with Jesus. But don't ask me to love Sheldon. Right? Because Sheldon can say some things sometimes that are off the wall. Pick on little Sheldon, I love you. It's life. What are we going to do with it? Is our love for Jesus going to affect our relationships with others? Or are we just going to go on and do life the way we want to do it? And hope that somehow in the end God will make an exception for us. Being in God's presence necessitates forgiveness. This is over in Mark chapter 11, 25 and 26. He says, when you stand praying, forgive. Now he's not trying to promote a certain posture for praying. That's not the point. The point is, when you come into the presence of God, forgive. If you have aught against anyone, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespass. And here, it's the same instance recorded by Mark, but he says, if you don't forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. You know what? When I was praying about this message, some people came to my mind that I had to forgive. If we come into the presence of God with an open heart, in love with Jesus Christ, a desire to know God and walk with Him, He'll show us those things. And then it's our choice. What are we going to do with them? Where are we going to go with it? Are we going to keep carrying that baggage and piling it up behind us and dragging it along, making our life miserable, making God's name stink to everyone around us? Or are we going to forgive and be free? The man that forgave the 550 to his servants, you think every time he would see those servants, he'd think, them guys owe me money. No. You know what? That man was free. He could talk to those men. It was done. It was over. It was taken care of. Did he forget it? Probably not. But it was taken care of. He was free. And they were free if they chose to live in that freedom. Forgiveness is important. Forgiveness is letting God be God, and it causes us to win. Over in Romans chapter 12, 19 to 21, some familiar verses, but it struck me in a new light here. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather. You know what we're doing when we're not forgiving? We're avenging ourselves. The men owed him the money, in those days he had the right to turn them over to the tormentors and make them pay. Oh, they wouldn't maybe pay the money back, but he could have the satisfaction of seeing them misused day after day after day, knowing that they deserved that because they hadn't paid. We have the choice in our mind, maybe not literally, we have the choice to make people pay. That's avenging ourselves. So we can either avenge ourselves or we can forgive. One of the two. When we avenge ourselves, we take things into our own hands. And I've never seen it fail. And I've watched Marjorie get into water fights already, or start them. She's usually the one that starts them. And it never fails. It starts with a little splash, and it goes to a cup and a bucket and a hose, right? What is that? What do we call that? Getting even. Avenging ourselves, right? And it's all in fun with her, I know that. It's not a thing of avenging. But that's how we do things. We get even. And so if somebody says something about me, then I gotta say something about them that's bigger and badder. If somebody does something to me, you know, if they come and they let the air out of my tire, I'll put something in their motor. You know, they're going to pay. Right? So we have that option. Here's what Paul says, dearly beloved, those that love Jesus with me, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. Don't let it get hold of you. Get it out of the way. That's what he's saying. Give place to it. Move it on. Don't keep it. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. You know what we're doing when we don't forgive? We're taking something that belongs to God and carrying it ourselves and trying to make it work ourselves. God says, vengeance is mine, I will repay. And we're saying, no, it's not yours, it's mine. I'll take care of this myself. And they are going to pay. And they're going to keep paying until I'm good and ready and satisfied. Right? So he says, look, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, why? Because vengeance belongs to the Lord. So you suppose Paul knew what he was talking about here? If your enemy hungers, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. You suppose Paul knew a little bit about that? There were a lot of people who didn't like Paul. I mean, really bad. Stoned him. Tried to kill him how many different times? And so he says, look, you have a choice. You can either let wrath come in and take over. You can seek revenge. You can take vengeance out of the hand of God and take it in your own hands and lose your forgiveness from God. Or you can turn around and be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. And look what he says. When we do that, we win. We win. Be not overcome of evil. When we take vengeance into our hand, when we let that anger move in, we're overcome of evil. We're not winning. We're losing. But when we choose to forgive, even as Christ forgave, we're winning. Is it easy? No. Everything within us cries out not to do that. But we turn around and we say, because you have forgiven me, I forgive. Corrie ten Boom was in a concentration camp. And the officer there treated her and her sister very, very horribly. And as she was praying one day, the Lord reminded her of that officer and she forgave him. And sometime later she was praying again and realized she was still harboring some resentment and some thoughts there. And she forgave him again. And she cried out to God, Lord, help me to forgive this person. And that's a good thing to cry out to God if you're struggling with forgiveness for someone. And it went a number of years. She was out of the concentration camp. She was growing old and she was speaking in a place. And as she looked out across the audience, she spotted that man. And at first she didn't recognize who he was. She thought, well, I know who that is. And all of a sudden it came to her. That's that man. That officer. And she didn't think so much about it at the time, but afterwards she saw him making his way toward her. And all of a sudden within her, she realized she was struggling with forgiveness again. And she said, God, I thought I forgave this man. And now this is coming up again. She said, I choose to forgive. And she was able to shake his hand and offer him words of encouragement. If I remember the story correctly, I think maybe he had accepted the Lord in the meantime. But just think, she won. She was an overcomer. Just think of the difference what her life would have been had she dragged that behind her everywhere she went. Letting God be God causes us to win. Even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Let's stand together. I just want us all to bow our heads. I want us to ask the Lord, is there someone? And I think probably for many of us, there'll be someone come to our mind. Might be somebody close to us, might be someone we don't even know. That you know in your heart you haven't forgiven the way God wants you to. And you just say, God, I want to forgive. I choose to forgive. Help me, Lord, to forgive just the way you forgave me. To free myself and this other person from the bondage of vengeance. People watch us. They know. They know when there's lack of forgiveness. They know when there's struggles within our church, within our families, within our communities. They know whether we're forgiving or not. They can't see everything about us, but they often know. If we really want to make God's name great, one of the best ways that we can do that is to forgive even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Lord, we thank you. We just thank you so much, Lord, for your forgiveness. Oh, God. We've sinned against you so horribly. We continue to struggle with sin in our lives day by day. And yet when we come to you and we plead the blood of Jesus, you forgive us. We thank you. And Lord, we go out from that meeting with you, from that time when we are standing there praying, and we go out and we grab our fellow man and we make him pay. I pray, Father, that your Holy Spirit convict us. Point it out to us, Lord. Make it clear, make it plain. And give us grace, Lord, to forgive and to walk faithfully with you. We bless your name. We give you glory. We give you praise. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. I just want to say, if there's someone that really is struggling with this whole thing of forgiveness, and you just feel like there's something that you cannot lay down, feel free to come and talk with one of us. We'd like to help you, because forgiveness is so important. Jesus explained it. If we don't forgive, we can't be forgiven. Pretty simple, but pretty hard. Let's have a song.